Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. Until a year ago today, January 6th used to be just another date on a calendar. The fact that George Washington married Mary today in 1759 and that New Mexico became the 47th state might be of some interest to Americans. But over history, every date is most likely to have been a dark day of strife or horror to somebody or some somewhere. Suddenly, January 6th exploded into infamy 1 year ago today, a day of infamy, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt immortalized December 7th, 1941, the day Japanese aircraft surprise attacked Pearl Harbor 80 years ago. As the date of June 6, 1944, in contrast, is regarded as democracy's successful assault against the fortress of fascism, January 6 has instantly become domestic fascism's sinister attack on the citadel of democracy. Paul Wallman has written for the Washington Post, "The war now being waged on democracy takes many forms, involves many distinct kinds of people, and is occurring at all levels of our political system. It has no single architect, not even Donald Trump. It is the most important story of 2022 and the years that will follow. American democracy is more threatened than at any point in our lifetimes." The attack 1 year ago today on the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. by the hateful, hostile mob, in the words of Petrarch, or in Erasmus's description, the multitude of the gross people, the blunt monster with uncounted heads, the still discordant, unwavering multitude, both impressions by Shakespeare, is comparable to 9/11's impact on the American psyche 21 years ago. It has been compared to the attack and burning of Washington, D.C. during the War of 1812, and perhaps more pertinently ominous, the opening shots at Fort Sumter that began the American Civil War of 1861 to 1865 are evoked. PolitiFact has nominated as its 2021 Lie of the Year the lies, plural, about the January 6th assault on the Capitol, and as written by Angie Drobnik-Olan, provides a detailed summary of January 6th and the accompanying tsunamis, plural, of lies by its instigators and supporters. Today's program has been somewhat abridged to fit its time frame. PolitiFact, the 2021 Lie of the Year, lies about the January 6th Capitol attack and its significance, by Angie Drobnik-Olan. Shortly after 2 p.m. on January 6th, 2021, supporters of President Donald J. Trump breached the U.S. Capitol, turning the seat of American democracy into the scene of an unforgivable crime. Inside, lawmakers had been preparing to count the Electoral College votes that would bring Trump's presidency to a close. Outside, the rioters erected a hanging gallows. They waved Trump 2020, Blue Lives Matter, and Confederate flags. Some were armed. After marching down Pennsylvania Avenue at Trump's urging, the rioters had overwhelmed the police surrounding the Capitol. They pushed past them, stripped them of their weapons, dragged them to the ground, sprayed them with chemical irritants, beat them, bludgeoned them, or tased them. Through clouds of smoke, they broke down barricades. They scaled the walls. They shattered windows. Congressional staff took cover in offices and closets, piling furniture against doors as the crowd snaked through the building's historic hallways. The rioters forced their way into House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. They entered the Senate chamber. they reached the dais where Vice President Mike Pence had sat moments earlier. Network and cable TV, plus internet sites, broadcast it all live for hours. Around the nation, people called friends and family as the attack hit the Capitol in horror and fascination. Can you believe this? Members of Congress evacuated from their chambers with gas masks in tow could hardly believe it themselves. U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin, called into CNN as the attack was happening. I have not seen anything like this since I deployed to Iraq in 2007 and 2008, he said. I mean, this is America, and this is what's happening right now. The president needs to call it off. Call it off. It's over. The election is over. And that's a quote from Gallagher. On the phone with Fox News that afternoon, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, condemned the attack as un-American and unacceptable. I have been in this Capitol for more than 10 years. I've never seen anything like this, McCarthy said. As the insurrectionists forced their way into the building, they chanted, "Fight for Trump" and "Hang Mike Pence." Pence, as vice president, had the constitutional responsibility of overseeing the typically quiet certification of state election results by Congress. Although Trump urged Pence to reject results from the battleground states that gave Joe Biden his victory, Pence said he would not intervene, enraging the pro-Trump crowd. As the chaos unfolded, Trump's media supporters, who would later downplay and deny what happened in various ways, grew concerned and tried to get messages to the president. Fox News personalities went through his chief of staff, Mark Meadows. "Mark, the president needs to tell people in the Capitol to go home," Laura Ingraham of Fox News wrote. "This is hurting all of us. He is destroying his legacy." Sean Hannity and Brian Kilmeade sent similar messages to Meadows. McCarthy, the Republican House leader, was able to reach the president directly to ask him to put a stop to what was going on. McCarthy would later evade questions about the call, but other House members said Trump told him, "Well, Kevin, I guess these people are more upset about the election than you are." Around 4 p.m., Trump finally asked his supporters to go home. "This was a fraudulent election," he said, "but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special." By the night's end, democracy was still standing, but the manipulation of the narrative was already underway. In the days that followed, Trump, some of the loudest and most influential members of the Republican Party, and vocal partisan media personalities offered a deluge of justifications, excuses, and conspiracy theories to reframe the events of January 6th as no big deal. They said January 6th was instigated by undercover left-wing activists who were part of Antifa. That was proved false. They said the rioters had not used force, and one Republican congressman likened the events to a normal tourist visit, quote unquote. Video proved that wrong. They claimed the attack on the Capitol had nothing to do with race, even though white supremacists and far-right militia groups were among the most active participants, and many rioters wore racist shirts. They suggested the whole affair was staged by the government, a false flag operation. Others suggested it was entirely a peaceful protest. All of that was wrong. They said that the rioters were political prisoners and shouldn't face serious charges. A host of federal judges and courts have held otherwise. The political shape-shifting was striking. McCarthy at first said that the president bears responsibility, quote unquote, for the riot. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called it a failed insurrection, said that the mob was fed lies and argued that Trump was practically and morally responsible for provoking the event of that day. But soon they tolerated bizarre claims from lawmakers in their ranks, such as that those arrested for rioting were treated worse than prisoners at Gitmo, and that federal agents may have been instigators. The two Republican leaders disparaged bipartisan efforts to investigate January 6th. There is no new fact about that day that we need the Democrats' extraneous commission to uncover, McConnell said in a statement. The attack was historically important. A federal judge called it the most significant assault on the Capitol since the War of 1812. While some members of Congress lodged protest when the Electoral College count was close, as in 2000, or when individual states had close margins, like Ohio in 2004, never before had Americans overtaken the Capitol to hold up electoral proceedings and threaten lawmakers. In fact, the peaceful transfer of power has long been a hallmark phrase in describing, with pride, the American experience. The events of January 6th were widely broadcast on that day and many days afterward, allowing the public to see for itself exactly what happened. The body of evidence includes a direct video documentation and many eyewitness accounts. So efforts to downplay and deny what happened are an attempt to brazenly recast reality itself. It's meant to sow doubt and make us unable to react in the ways we need to react to what is actually a threat to democracy, said Kate Starberg, an associate professor and expert in misinformation at the University of Washington. Soon after January 6th, people trying to dismiss the day's importance plucked out isolated images to portray the throng as peaceful people simply walking through the Capitol. Lou Dobbs, a former Fox Business Network host, dismissed the idea that it was a full-on riot with armed looters going through the building. Dobbs said that very day it wasn't what he saw. As I watched, at least on a number of occasions, looking at the statuary hall, the protesters who had invaded the Capitol were walking between the rope lines. It was really a remarkable scene. Months later, U.S. Representative Andrew Clyde, Republican of Georgia, focused on the same images. Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion, staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures, Clyde said during a May committee hearing. If you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit. Clyde's words belied his own actions that day. A roll call photographer shared an image of Clyde helping barricade the House chamber door as rioters disrupted Congress. PolitiFact rated his statement about a normal tourist visit as pants on fire. Trump said the protesters were downright affectionate. It was zero threat right from the start. It was zero threat, Trump told Ingraham in March. Look, they went in. They shouldn't have done it. Some of them went in, and they are hugging and kissing the police and the guards. And that was Trump. Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gonell didn't think so. Gonell told Congress he thought he was going to die as he sought to protect the Capitol. Gonell said officers were punched, kicked, shoved, sprayed with chemical irritants, and even blinded with eye-damaging lasers by a violent mob. And at one point, he felt himself losing oxygen as he was crushed by the rioters. The rioters caused $1.5 million in property damages. They smashed glass windows and door panels, broke furniture, ruined artwork, and ripped historic lanterns from the ground. They stole a laptop in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, documents from the Senate chamber, escape hoods from police officers' bags, and a Capitol Police vest. Some rioters snatched up items from official offices as if they wanted souvenirs, including a bottle of wine and a Fox News football. A federal judge ridiculed Clyde's characterization during a defendant sentencing hearing in June. I am especially troubled by the accounts of some members of Congress that January 6th was just a day of tourists walking through the Capitol, said U.S. District Judge Royce Lambert, a Reagan appointee. I don't know what planet these people are on. Despite evidence showing that dozens of rioters were armed with real and makeshift weapons as they tried to overturn the election claims that January 6th was not an insurrection, hardened into a popular talking point. Some commentators insisted that because no person has been charged with insurrection, the riot could not be considered one. They objected to fatality counts from the riot, noting that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick's death the day after fighting with rioters was determined to be from natural causes after suffering two strokes. Fox News host Tucker Carlson repeatedly denied that January 6th had anything to do with race, falsely claiming that white supremacists bore no responsibility for what happened. Several people with known ties to white supremacist groups were involved, including people now facing conspiracy charges. Symbols of white supremacy and anti-Semitism were prominently on display: a hanging gallows, Confederate flags, racist Tuppy the Frog imagery, a Camp Auschwitz t-shirt. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, minimized the attack by arguing in February that it couldn't be considered an armed insurrection. Court documents make clear that many of the people who breached the Capitol that day were armed. As the assault on the Capitol unfolded, Ryan Nichols, a former Marine who carried a crowbar with him, stood on the ledge of a broken Capitol window. "If you have a weapon, you need to get your weapon," he shouted into a bullhorn. The rioters brandished bats, crutches, flagpoles, skateboards, hockey sticks, knives, zip ties, chemical sprays, a fire extinguisher, and makeshift weapons, court documents show. They stole and wielded police batons and riot shields. Several had guns on them or stashed nearby. At least 190 people had been charged with assaulting, resisting, or impeding police officers, including over 60 who were charged with using a weapon or causing serious bodily harm to an officer, the Justice Department said in October. More than 65 people have been charged with entering a restricted area with a dangerous or deadly weapon. The coup d'etat project at the University of Illinois Klein Center for Advanced Social Research determined shortly after the attack that the storming of the Capitol qualified as an attempted coup. Several of the weapons charges were filed against members of the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and other far-right militia groups who wore combat gear and used military-style tactics in the crowd. Many of the same right-wing voices who went to great lengths to excuse or minimize the attack also teetered between wild conspiracy theories that sought to entirely rewrite what happened. They suggested that the violence was the work of Antifa, a familiar right-wing specter, and when that was proven false, a number of them, led most conspicuously by Carlson, blamed the FBI. There was no documented trace of Antifa at the Capitol, nor was there ever compelling evidence that the FBI or any other government agency instigated the attack 1 year later, with more than 700 people facing charges related to the day's events. There still isn't. But talk about Antifa and a false flag, that's the quote, began to take off on anonymous online forums a little after noon Eastern Standard Time on January 6th, according to PolitiFact's day after analysis. Shortly after the rioters forced their way past Capitol barricades, posts in pro-Trump Facebook groups were already claiming that Antifa was behind what was happening. The idea spread on Twitter, and Parrier, a social media platform popular with conservatives, then to right-wing radio and TV. Several lawmakers endorsed it. But the pro-Trump rioters made clear they didn't want to give up the credit. They proudly touted their attack, live-streaming themselves from the Capitol, posing for pictures with statues, interviewing with nearby reporters, and boasting about their escapades on social media. It was not Antifa at the Capitol, one rioter tweeted. It was freedom-loving patriots who were desperate to fight for the final hope of our republic. The evidence didn't seem to matter. Within months, another conspiracy theory developed, claiming that January 6 was an inside job, a false flag operation orchestrated by the FBI. This one took off thanks to a little-known right-leaning website called Revolver News, run by Darren Beatty, a former Trump White House speechwriter, who was fired in 2018 after appearing on a panel with a white nationalist. A year later, there is zero evidence to say that January 6 was an Antifa operation, a tourist visit, a false flag, or an uneventful day to forget. Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, who rejected Trump's false election fraud claims and voted to impeach him over what happened on January 6, is one of two Republicans to serve on the House Select Committee and used her standing to blast the false flag conspiracy theory. It's un-American to be spreading those kinds of lies, and they are lies, Cheney said. But the repetition of the January 6 falsehoods demonstrates that a political movement can coalesce around obvious lies, and that despite the facts, it can be difficult to stand against. This is our new world, denial of what your eyes are actually seeing, said Laura Thornton, director and senior fellow at the Alliance for Securing Democracy at the German Marshall Fund of the United States. So far, the consequences for what happened before, during, and after January 6th have been limited to rioters like the QAnon shaman, who were charged or sentenced for storming the Capitol. Political leaders and pundits, on the other hand, are going about business as usual. Trump, acquitted in the Senate for a second time, may run again in 2024. McCarthy is angling to take back the speakership. Carlson remains one of the most watched cable news hosts on TV. Meanwhile, Cheney was cast out of the mainstream of the Republican Party when the House removed her in May from her leadership position after her impeachment vote. Similar moves against Republicans who criticized Trump have taken place across the country. It is a sign that elections could remain a contested space for years to come, as Republican grievances about the outcome of the 2020 election fuel the rewriting of election laws around the country, and it's a sign that January 6th downplay and denial could be hardening into yet another litmus test for Republicans. Primaries in 2022 are shaping up to be contests where pro-Trump loyalists challenge anyone who dissents. We are in an extremely dangerous place, said Thornton. An attack on your Capitol where people are threatening to murder the vice president is bad enough. But when you have a political party, one of two in our country, that are downplaying or diverting or misrepresenting, it's extremely upsetting. I don't know how we come back from that. This is Michael McCusker. Dylan Alzer Schalk is engineer for this program, and my thanks and tip of the hat for his insight into FDR's day of infamy as a stark appellation for today's date of January 6th from this day forward. Joanne Rideout is doing exactly that after nearly 20 years at KMUN, doing everything, but she is not entirely sailing away from Coast Community Radio. She is, after all, KMUN's St. Joanne of the Ark and all the ships at sea. At this beginning of the third plague year and the national schism between vaxxers and non-vaxxers, which reflects the larger divide that threatens democracy, use your hearts and minds to stay alive and save your neighbors and democracy. Vaccinate and isolate for a greater union.